following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Unity FM. My name is Beresford Dawkins. I'm the Community Development Manager for Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust. Really glad to be with you on our weekly programme. It's our health and wellbeing programme, and you know the title of the programme, What Shape Are You In? Before we do that, though, big shout out to Ibrahim, who's just finished his, he's just finished his programme. Great programme, as usual. Lots of interaction from the general public. And you know that we want you to call in and discuss, share the challenges, as the question is, what shape are you in? Economic downturn, the whole of the winter's in, we're out of the pandemic, apparently. How does that affect you? Please give us a call, 0121-772-8892. If you want to text, 0794-777-3949. We'll get you straight to the studio where my colleagues are there to take your call so that you can join in this conversation. Because today I've got two fabulous guests, colleagues of mine who also work at Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust, where we look after some 60,000 patients across Birmingham and across Solihull. And we know that there's a massive demand, but we also want to inform you of a new legislation that's coming. 2022, it's already in and it's happening. And in fact, that transition for us as a trust has already happened. New integrated care system. It's actually, for me, who's been around the NHS for a long time, probably the biggest health challenge of a generation following the pandemic. And we're moving fast. We're trying to break some barriers, some legislative barriers, to be fair, to deliver better outcomes for our patients. But actually, that affects community as well. And if you don't know what's happening in terms of your own healthcare services, then it puts you a little bit at a disadvantage, I believe. So this program is here to inform you of all the things that are happening within the system to ensure that you are well informed so that you can make positive choices. I'm really glad to say as well, my guests are with me. We've got Jazz Janangle, who heads up Transformation Services. But we know that Renu is also here. And thank you for joining us both. It's really good to see you. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Beresford. It's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. Just to clarify, so I'm not taking over Renu's job. I don't head up the program as such. So my role within the Community Mental Health Transformation Program is co-production lead for Experts by Experience, and Renu is the program lead. Just so we're
fantastic. And thank you for that introduction. You said it far better than I could have done. And Renu, just because he's done that now, can you just introduce yourself, given your full title as well, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Beresford, and thank you so much for inviting Jazz and I today. We're really pleased to be here. So yeah, I'm Renu Bhopal Padiyar. I'm the Community Mental Health Transformation Program lead, working across Birmingham and Solihull. Jazz and I, along with the whole team, are really working hard to implement the new service. So really excited to be here and kind of answer questions and discuss some of the work that's taking place.
Fantastic. And just before we go into the detail and the programme and the new legislation, Renu, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and leading up to when you joined us at the Trust, if that's okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working within mental health within Birmingham and Solihull for 10 years. I worked at Birmingham Women's and Children's, and that's where I started my NHS journey, working within their CAM service initially. And then we, working with colleagues, we launched Forward Thinking Birmingham. So that's the mental health provision for 0 to 25s within Birmingham. We launched that service and saw that kind of come into fruition and into maturity. And then this opportunity arose, leading the transformation for community transformation for adult services. So that was about 18 months ago. And absolutely one of my passions. It's funny, actually, Jazz and myself and the team have been discussing this just today about, you know, why are we part of the programme? And mental health is hugely important to me, really close to my heart. So when this opportunity came up, absolutely grabbed it with both hands. And I really think this is a huge chance within Birmingham Solihull to bring about change. So I couldn't wait to be involved. And then we built the team, and having Jazz on board now and colleagues from the team, we're able to really bring about some of those changes now. So that's why I'm here, and that's why I do what I do.
Fantastic. And you've been with the Trust now, you say, for some 10 years.
So you've been in mental health for 10 years, and I've been in the Trust now, Birmingham Solihull, for about 18 months.
Fantastic. And I have to tell you, in the same way I hear your passion, Renew, I'm equally passionate about the work that we're doing with the Trust at the moment. And I believe there's going to be some significant change, which is really going to have some improved outcomes for patients.
Absolutely. That's the hope, Beresford. Absolutely.
Brilliant. So, Jazz, if you could just tell us a little bit about your background, and we're going to get in, because we've got a lot to discuss. So if you give us a bit of your background, because I know you from your Mind days, but you can give us a little sort of pathway, if you like.
Yeah, no worries at all. I think I did this show, was it last year, when I was working at Birmingham Mind, the mental health charity. In terms of kind of career and background, I worked for the NHS before a number of years ago, and worked in different kind of departments. So I worked in sexual health, and then also worked in public health as well. And then for the last kind of like 7-8 years, I was working in the voluntary sector. So worked for a couple of the big national mental health charities, so Rethink Mental Illness and also Birmingham Mind. I've been in this post as co-production lead for Experts by Experience since January this year. Kind of like just picking up on what Renu said, we did have a team building session this morning and kind of just unpicked some of the reasons why we're doing the work that we're doing and what drives us and what kind of motivates us and the passion that we have. And that was really, really empowering to hear that as a program team, that just the kind of like the team commitment to wanting to make this successful, wanting to make this work, with the end goal being a much better, kind of more integrated system, a mental health system for our service users and their carers and families. And I'll just share with you, Beresford, really quickly. I have mental illness, have a history of mental illness. I've been in and out of mental health services for a number of years, and I have some really not so great experiences of using the system, and I have some really positive and wonderful experiences of using the system. And for me, I am so fortunate to be in this role that I'm in, because I get to draw on not only my own lived experience of mental illness, but my role is to work with those people who have lived experience of mental illness, who've been through their own difficult journeys, who've accessed the system, and to give them a voice in helping us to change the system for the better. And more than just giving them a voice, what we're doing with the work that I'm leading on is actually inviting them to be part of the decision making of the new services as they develop. So giving people a real opportunity to draw on the learning from their lived experience. So what was good, what wasn't so good, what do they want us to change as a system, and giving them the opportunity to have that voice heard and to be part of that decision making going forward. So it's such an amazing opportunity. It's challenging work, as Renu will tell you. It's hugely challenging work, because it's working across various different systems and it's pulling things together. But for me, my absolute passion is making sure that we don't do what we've traditionally done in the past, where we've created systems without actually engaging with or speaking to people who are going to be using the system. We need to make sure that we've always got the voice of the service user at the heart of everything that we do.
Fantastic. And thank you for being so candid about your own experience as well, because
you're welcome.
To have Experts by Experience in the spaces and in the roles that you occupy, and I know there's as a trust, I think I'm going to be bold enough and say I think we're leading the way in terms of how we engage with Experts by Experience. So again, thank you for being so candid. Renu, the world has changed. People are living longer. Mm-hmm. We have this new integrated care system. And particularly mental health services, we're seeing we want to treat people closer to home. We want to start setting up health cafes, and we want to start do social prescribing and all these fantastic things. And I guess if you've been around as long as I do, I said, you know, what's taking us so long, Renu? What's taking us so long?
Sure. Yeah, and I really do think that the ambitions that were set out in the long-term plan and the monies then that were committed to this work really were that watershed moment for mental health services. I think there'd been many years where we probably didn't receive the investment that we would had hoped for to bring about that really kind of transformational change in services. So I think the long-term plan, like I said, and the really clear aims it sets out, the some of the things you just mentioned there, Beresford, about, you know, we know that our service users, they do better closer to home in environments that they're more familiar with. So it is about how do we improve and build upon that. The long-term plan is really clear about some of those aims, those place-based, you know, providing services that are place-based. As I said, the funding then that came with along with those the long-term plan and those aims were really that watershed and that catalyst really to bring about this change now. So the work we have commenced, we're 18 months in, and there's still a long road ahead of us. But we're starting to see some now of those kind of grassroots, those kind of grass shoots, of change that we've been looking for years. So, like you said, you've seen iterations of this, I'm sure, going round, you know, time and time again. But I think this time round now, it does feel different.
Okay, so for our listeners, 0121 772 8892, if you want to join in, we're talking about a piece of legislation that came out, started in April 2022, and it's the integrated care system. Yes, the three of us know what that is, but just generally, give us a bit of background. What is this new integrated care system?
Sure. So the integrated care system is the new world, and previously the kind of joined up way that commissioning took place for mental health services were managed by commissioning groups. So each area would have had a commissioning group that would have looked after the way that services within that area were being commissioned. Moving forward coming up to this year, April 2022, as you mentioned there, Beresford, that there was a huge change within the way that commissioning was taking place nationally. So this isn't just happening to us here in Birmingham and Solihull. This is a national piece of legislation, as you mentioned. And we've moved now from those commissioning groups into integrated care systems. And for Birmingham and Solihull, we have an integrated care board. But you're right, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So what it means is, all of the providers for mental health services, social services, linking in with police, across the full spectrum of services across an area are coming together to provide services. So previously, health, social care were very much siloed, you know, working as individual organisations. As we've moved forward now to the ICB, the Integrated Care Board, as part of the integrated care system, it's about aligning those services, making sure that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing and vice versa, making sure that service users do not fall between the gaps of social care, health, like we said, education, policing. It's about bringing all of that together. So when decisions are made, in particular about funding as well for areas, it's not just an organisation by organisation. It's a full approach to the way that investment and services are worked on. So that's it in a real kind of nutshell, really. But obviously, it will come with all of its kind of challenges. But it's definitely the way forward.
And for those of us that have been screaming loudly about this, why do you think it's taken us so long? Why has the penny dropped for commissioners who have been commissioning the same old stuff, getting the same old outcomes? What do you think has prompted the change, apart from the obvious pandemic, of course?
I think some of it is finally listening to what service users want. And that's why the work that Jazz does as part of the programme, when we kind of look at it as our real kind of distilled, you know, they are telling us what they want. And it's unfortunate that it's taken this long. But, you know, the frustration of service users trying to navigate the myriad of systems is a massive issue. So I think some of it is they're finally listened. Absolutely, the pandemic happened, and that was almost a catalyst, if you like, as well, to say, right, something has to change, because demand across all service areas have gone up through the roof. So we can't carry on doing the same old. So I think there's something about that, about finally listening to service users. And I think there's something about meeting the demand for service users. We can't carry on doing it the way that we used to, all in our kind of own little blocks and silos. There's only so much resource, and there's only so much finance budget available. So we have to work smarter.
And if I may just come in there, Beresford.
Yeah. Absolutely, Jess. Yeah, absolutely.
Just to add on to what Renu's saying, absolutely, absolutely agree. One of the biggest things that most service users will feedback is how complex this system, and I use that in the broadest sense, this system is. And it's actually quite ridiculous that when you're at your most vulnerable and when you're unwell, you have a system that is so complex to navigate, to be able to get support and get to see the right person that you need, whether that's within health, whether that's within social care, whether that's the welfare system, whether it's the police and all the other bits that kind of Renu mentioned as well. And there has to be that recognition that when we are vulnerable, when we are unwell, we need a system that is much easier to be able to negotiate, to be able to get through, to be able to get to see the right person that you need for the right support at the right time. I think for years, dare I say decades, we haven't had that. And exactly like Renu said, people have fallen through the gaps, and people therefore have negative experiences of the system. And then that leads into a whole other conversation about mistrust of systems and whether and the impact that has then on individuals, on their families, their friends, their communities, and that negative reputation that then builds because people have had those negative experiences. And we have to change that for the better. We have to make the system easier. We have to, I love the way Renu said it, the right hand, make the right hand talk to the left hand. Because it is exactly that. We have to kind of join forces together to provide that integrated way that just makes that journey, when you're vulnerable, when you're unwell, a lot easier and a lot smoother.
Brilliant. And we were fortunate enough to have both of you come to our team meeting as well, where we have a lot of discussions about this. And certainly, as the development lead myself, one of the biggest challenges that we face is mental health stigma. It's still the biggest challenge. As long as I've been doing this work, the mistrust that you talk about and the fact that bad things have happened in mental health services and how that has affected, you know, Birmingham in particular, because as big as Birmingham is, it's quite a small, little, tight, super diverse city. And, you know, people remember those old institutions that we used to serve in on. And they don't forget that historical memory is still there. And, like I say, mental health stigma is the biggest challenge, and also improving mental health literacy. So the two things go hand in hand. I just wondered, that mistrust, and programs like this do help because we're giving people information and we're updating them about how we're doing things differently. What else do you think, especially when it comes to the collaborative bits of working, how can we do more innovative things to challenge mental health stigma, normalize this discussion?
Do you know my first response to that, Beresford, would be to do it differently to how we've done it before, essentially. And what we haven't done before is really engage with communities and really understand communities, groups, individuals, what the issues are for them. I think what we've done as a system is we've tried to do things for people or to people with probably the, you know, all good intentions, thinking that's what people need. What we haven't done is shared that power. And that's why I love the job that I do, because the co-production element of the work that I do is all about sharing power with service users and with communities. So they have an equal voice in deciding, actually, what do I want this service to look like? What things do I need this service to do? That's the way that we do it. We give power to communities, to individuals, to actually empower them to be able to be part of both designing, delivering, accessing services. So for me, that would be the absolute number one thing that we need to do. We need to stop being this kind of almost corporate system that's seen as being this other big organization elsewhere. We actually need to be much more connected to our communities. And I will say, sorry, Ren, I was just going to say, sorry.
I totally agree, Jazz, but go on, please do finish your point.
Just about the mistrust, I was going to say, I think as a system, and I do use the word system in its broadest sense again, I think we have a lot of work to do to rebuild that trust, because people have been traumatized. People have been traumatized through either accessing services or not being able to access services. And let's also address the other elephant in the room here, which is like the massive long waiting list that people have to experience and endure. Mm. And let's be honest that when you're on a waiting list for months, and those months then turned into maybe a year or maybe even longer than that, we know that people's health and well-being worsens. And we know that it's not just their mental health that will worsen. It's more than likely their physical health. And then all the impacts that has on an individual's kind of like social health and their lifestyle needs. We know that things get bad very quickly. So we do need to kind of create this system that does give people access to the right support in a much quicker amount of time from that kind of preventative perspective. But we do have some serious work to do to be able to rebuild trust in a kind of positive, in a kind of co-productive, and also in an empowering way. We need people on board to kind of support us with the work that we do so they can be part of changing the system for the better.
Doing things differently, Renu. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we're trying, and I think Jazz is right, you know, we have to do things differently, because the way that we've done it previously, it'll just yield the same results, the same mistrust. And I think the other thing that we're being quite brave with, really, is to say, actually, we don't have all the answers. And I think that's been some of the mistakes we've made in the past, saying, yeah, well, we're going to come in and we know it all. Actually, we don't. One of the things that we've tried to do and move away from as part of the program is to actually reach out to communities. And I'm not going to say hard to reach, because they're not hard to reach. We're just not
good at reaching them. I so hate that term.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. We need to be better at reaching out and saying, right, please, can you just help guide us? Because we don't have all the answers. And you're quite right, Beresford. We're incredibly lucky across Birmingham and Solihull, such a diverse population, but it absolutely brings them with it challenges, because not one size fits all, and we accept that, you know. So one of the things that we're doing as part of this piece of work is reaching out and reaching in with community leads, reaching out with some of our voluntary community sector leads to say, look, what's the best way we can look to engage? And it's the simple things about... and Jazz mentioned it really eloquently about kind of improving that access to our services. Now, we've got to make sure our services have the right languages available to them, that our websites are intuitive, that actually not everybody's got access to website and digital either. How do we make sure that we're linking in with those community leads to say that might be the best person for you to gain guidance from about maybe getting some support with your mental health and all the other social factors that wrap around it? So I think there is very much... And I guess for us as well, like I said, it's kind of being brave enough to say, you know, we don't know. So I think it's about that. How do we link in with those key leads across communities to say, please work with us collaboratively? We want to improve the system.
Yeah, I think essentially, we're, as a system, what we've kind of expected people to do is we've expected people to kind of flex around us and accommodate to our needs. And inadvertently, often, we've put in barriers and obstacles as part of that. And actually, we need to kind of flip that on its head and say, actually, do you know what? As a system, we need to flex to your needs, to absolutely. What it is that you need. And just talking about diverse communities, absolutely echo what Renu said. Like, we are so fortunate to live, work within Birmingham and Solihull, because it has some of the most richest diversity, actually, in the whole of England, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It's such a culturally rich place. And it's diversity in all its forms. So whether that's people from diverse ethnic minoritized groups, whether that's kind of LGBTQ plus communities, whether it's our migrant communities, there's so many different kind of communities within communities. And as a system, we have to be better to be able to recognize those communities and respond accordingly.
Brilliant. We're talking to Renu, who heads up the transformation program for Birmingham and Solihull. Mental Health Trust, and also Jazz, colleagues of ours who work in the trust, and we're banging on the doors, and we're trying to make some change. And in fact, we're doing more than trying, and you're going to hear that after the break, which we're coming to shortly, and where we're going to be telling you exactly what is going on. So Jazz and Rani are going to just articulate what it is that they're actually doing and how that it's working and the successes that they're had, as we heard from Renu. It's been 18 months. They've got a really dedicated staff team and they're making changes. It means that Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust are breaking down these legislative barriers that are going to improve patient outcomes. 0121 772 8892. You can join in this conversation if you wish. Send us a text message, 0794 777 3949, and you can certainly take part in this conversation. There is no question too hard for Jazz or too hard for Renu, for that matter. We're in this because we love what we do, we're passionate about what we do, and we want to see change within our services. And for me, I'm on a mission to see that 60,000 patient number be reduced, because I think there's so much work we can do around prevention. So join us after the break, and we're going to go straight back in. We'll see you in a few minutes.